We have Peter Jobe on the line. G'day, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Annie. How are you?
Good. And now the reason for why we've got you is because it goes perfectly after that conversation about the rights of refugees. But you've written an article for Pearls and Irritations that points out that even the most moderate media in Australia has promotes the Australian disease, abusing refugees.
That's right. I called it the Australian refugees, not only because it abuses refugees, because Australia certainly does that, but first of all, it promotes a false narrative about refugees that denies their actual legal rights promotes the idea that they have less rights than other people. Now, there's different ways that different sections of the media does it. The News Corp and The Australian are openly abusive of refugees, but the mainstream media takes a different approach. That is normalization of abuse of refugees, as if putting people in long-term detention, using offshore warehousing and other things that are actually against international law, that go against the 1951 Refugee Convention, is a normal way to proceed. And the example that I cite in my article is the first Media Watch under Lynton Besser, which did that in a number of the ways, even though Lynton Besser is in many ways a journalist who I admire, and in other ways he's good.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because, of course, the Convention into the Rights of Refugees, 1951, gives everybody the right to actually ask for refugee status to a country like Australia, and calling them illegal is actually a misnomer.
It certainly is. Refugees have a right, and the Refugee Convention is completely clear on this, to seek asylum and to do so through irregular means. That means that they put that in place because, of course, during the Second World War, many people who escaped the Holocaust had to do it through irregular means, and that is always the case for people who are being persecuted. There is no organised queue where refugees can go to put their case. They have to escape how they can, and that's why the Refugee Convention makes it very clear.
Now, the next thing about that, of course, is that Australians like to think that we're good guys. We're the good guys. We're the ones with the white hats on. As my father was a solicitor, he said he used to like to watch the Westerns because you always knew who the good guys and the bad guys were. Australia's not looking that good, are we?
No, Australia. Australia, what I argue is that there are many countries, unfortunately, who are abusing refugees, and I cite a number of them in my article. But Australia has led the pack in a number of ways. It has led the pack for decades in undermining the Refugee Convention. First of all, by putting people in permanent long-term detention for many, many years. I know that because I used to advocate as a volunteer for refugees, and I worked with other people to get some refugees out of detention because their cases have been so incompetently assessed. But some of them had spent, one of them had spent, at that time, we thought it was a horrendous amount of time, which is more than 5 years in detention. Now, today, people who are experiencing offshore warehousing experience even longer than that. Australia has also undermined the Refugee Convention by refusing to hear the cases of people who arrive on Australia's shore. By law, once you arrive in Australia, once you arrive on the territory, that country is bound by international law to assess you, to do so effectively, to do so reasonably promptly, and to treat you in a reasonable manner while these things are happening. And Australia has consistently led the pack, led other countries in doing that. We know that Australia has led the pack because other countries talk about Australia. In Britain in particular, right-wingers who are anti-refugee have cited the Australian experience as something that they should emulate. Now, Britain has been criticised within Europe as being very oppressive to refugees, and they are. but they are actually not nearly as bad as we are. They do not engage in long-term detention like we do, but they are nevertheless seen as being too oppressive to refugees, and that's something I'd agree with. But we're even worse. That is the state of Australia's refugee.
I mean, you say like that we're the canaries in the mineshaft, as it were, for offshore detention. Me and Vito's home country of Italy, it's pretty much taken up the same policies that Australia has with shipping off migrants to Albania now, or this proposed plan that they're going to do it at exorbitant costs to the taxpayer and actually a really flawed program.
Greece has also undertaken several long-term detention. And in both cases, there is a refugee debate in which the political conservatives who are have cited throughout Europe, Australia has been cited as an example, and the Australian example has been followed. We are an example of worst practice.
Now, what you're saying, Peter, is that it's not about money, it's about ideological and political expediency.
Of course it's not about money. The amount of money Australia has spent in long-term detention and offshore processing is billions of dollars. And that's quite strange because the number of refugees that have arrived on our shore is actually quite modest compared to most countries, as I say in my article. If we had treated them properly, integrated, allowed them to stay, live in the community while their cases were being heard, had their cases heard competently, and then allowed them to stay if had they been accepted, which would be the majority of cases, and those people would have been productive citizens working in jobs and paying taxes. It would have cost a fraction of the money to treat them properly that it has cost to oppress them in the way that we have.
Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Peter.
Thanks very much, Annie. Good to speak to you again.